Parshas Balosa. Our subject today is going to be a very basic question that needs to be asked when we try to understand the behavior of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and in general the behavior of Klal Yisrael through the ages. Specifically, what we're speaking about is how we can be so close to revelation, have just experienced revelation, and then just go the other direction, lose the gift that Hashem has given us. It happened in the Midbar. It happened with the Cheder Egel. It happened, they were just about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and then boom, everything went bad, and they ended up staying in the desert 40 years. It happened when we had the first Beis HaMikdash with Kahuna, and Melucha, and Nevua, and Nisim, and we lost it. What is going on? This question is implied in the last Pasuk, prior to those two Pasukim, Vayhi Ben Soa, Ha'aron, surrounded by the upside down nuns. Now, we have spoken about those two Pasukim in depth in the past here, and the nuns, and what they represent. The main idea is, not to review it all, but just to give us kind of perspective, the main idea is that really, up until Vayhi Ben Soa, those two upside down nuns, all of that constitutes Sefer Bamidbar. Okay? The two nuns themselves, which and the two Pesukim contained between them, total 85 letters, Chazal say that a Sefer Torah that has 85 letters is still worthy to be saved and repaired. It's called the Sefer Torah if it has 85 letters. So they say that these two Pesukim are Sefer Bifnei Atzmo. It's its own Sefer. And then after these two Pesukim, the rest of Parshas Balosha are another Sefer. So there's really two more Sfarim than we're used to hearing about in the Torah. Okay? So when we wonder what Chazal mean by explaining to us that these two Pesukim are two Sfarim, I'm sorry, as a Sefer by itself, we have to take the context. Everything up to these two Pesukim, really, if you wanted to just sum it up, are the kind of like wrapping up operations before they are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. You hear the gifts of the Nesiim, you hear about how they camped, in what formation, how they traveled, the trumpets they would blow, they completed, odds and ends, give Pesach Sheni for those who couldn't do it. Moshe asked Yisro to come with him, all the last minute preparations, and then you see that they were done with all that they had to do to finally be ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Vayisu, Pasuk Lamed Gimel and Perek Yud, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they started to travel. They're on the march. They started to travel from Har Hashem, that is Har Sinai. 3 days, they're on the march. It wasn't that far from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael. Har Sinai, we know, was clear near Midyan, which is like east-southeast of Eretz Yisrael, and not much of a journey. And they're already on the way, 3 days. V'aron bris Hashem nosei alefneihem derech shloshes yom, and the Aron's even 3 days ahead of them to, set up the land for them. V'aron Hashem aleihem yomam, the cloud is on them during the day as they traveled bin sam min hamachan, as they traveled away from the camp that they had been camped in by around Har Sinai for quite a while. So they're on the move. And then there's these two psukim, Vayhi Ben Soa Aaron, when the Aaron would travel, Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, get up and scatter your enemies. And Benocho, when it would come to rest, Hashem would say, let your Shekhinah dwell on 22,000. Revavos Alfei. Elef is 1,000. Alfei is 2. Revavos are 10. 10 times 2. Revavos are 10 and 10 is 20 plus the 2. 22,000. So that's, Moshe's declaration. Travel, Hashem, scatter the enemies, and settle down and let your Shekhinah dwell upon us. The number 22,000 we've spoken about represents all of Klal Yisrael. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, 22,000 Leviim, very symbolic number. It represents Hashem's Shekhinah dwelling on the core, at least the core left, as long as there's a core in Klal Yisrael, Hashem's Shekhinah will dwell. So that sounds like here, they're on the march, the Aron is going to scatter our enemies, we're going to come proceed directly into Eretz Yisrael. Then the Aron will rest on, and the Shekhinah will dwell on Klal Yisrael. It's all set to go. Then what happens? The whole second half of Sefer of Parshas Balosha and the rest of Sefer Bamidbar is a disaster. Everything unravels. One thing leads to the next. The people start grumbling. Hashem makes a magefa. They complain against the man. Moshe says, I can't bear them anymore. Hashem gives him 70 Nevi'im because Hashem gave Moshe, other Nevi'im, that led to Tzipora saying, ooh, Nebuchadnezzar, their wives, which led to Miriam saying, oh, who does Moshe think he is? But Nevi'im don't have to separate from their wives. What are you talking about? That led to Korach losing his awe of Moshe to some degree. That led to the Meraglim, which said, we don't trust you. The whole thing spiraled out of control, and they ended up in the Midbar for 40 years, and this Dor never made it in Eretz Yisrael. What happened here? So we're not going to speak about today about Vayhi ben Soa. The main idea, though, if I just remind you, for those who have heard it, and Rav Moshe Shapiro explains this, is Vayhi ben Soa Ha'aron, these two psukim. Very interestingly, these are the secrets, the little secrets. My father wrote a sefer, a little English book, easy book, nice bar mitzvah gift book called Giant Little Secrets of the Torah. One of the little secrets here is that the pasuk Vayhi ben Soa has 12 words in it, just like the last pasuk in the Sefer Torah. The very last pasuk in the Sefer Torah. Bubinocho, the second pasuk, has 7 words in it, just like Bereshis Baralakim. Interesting. Chazal calls this a Sefer Torah Bifnei Atzmo. And our Sefer Torah also has 7 words to start it, 12 words to end it. This Sefer starts with 12 words, ends with 7 words. Interesting, right? What Moshe Shapiro explains is working with the concepts of Aron, the traveling of the Aron. Moshe Shapiro explains that really this is the Sefer Torah that has yet to be written. This is a Sefer Torah that's going to start with 12 words, which means where our written Torah ends, and it's going to be the story of the journeys of Klal Yisrael through history, covering 2,500 years, right? Really close to maybe close to 3,000 years, but about 2,700 years since the Torah is closed. And it's going to be our story and our grandparents' story. That's what it's going to be. And when it finally ends, Benocho, when Hashem finally settles its Shechinah on Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, at the end of days, guess where we'll be? Back to Bereshis Bara Elokim, the first 7-worded pasuk in the Torah, which represents Benocho, the last word of this Sefer Torah, will bring us back, and we'll see that our entire journey through history has been one to ultimately fulfill the tachlis we were created for with Bereshis Bara Elokim. And he plays with the two words Aron and Nora. Nora is simply Aron backwards, right? That instead of the Aron, as it was expected to happen here, traveling before Klal Yisrael and scattering the enemies and bringing them into Eretz Yisrael and letting them dwell safely there, it was going to be a different story from this point on. Instead of Aron, it would be Nora. Chazal say, beautiful idea, that Yirmiyahu, okay, by the Chorban, he said, how could we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, or we say the first Baruch HaShem Esrei, Elokeinu, right? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, right? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. How could you say Nora after the Chorban? Awesome. What do you mean awesome? Our enemies are desecrating the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they're desecrating it. How could you call Hashem Nora awesome? And then Daniel said, yeah, how could you say Gibor? Hashem is strong when his children are being, you know, completely decimated and he does nothing. And they're going off to Gullus and being tortured. So they didn't want to use the words Gibor and Nora anymore. Anshe Knes HaGadol, a body of 120 great people, many of them Nevi'im, earned their title Anshe Knes HaGadol because they argued against Yirmiyahu and Daniel and said, no, you must still say Gibor and Nora. Why? And this is what they said. If not for the Mora, the Nora, the awesomeness of Hashem, the fear and awe of Hashem, how do you think one nation will survive among 70? What Anshe Knes HaGadol were saying at the destruction of the first temple, with an eye to the entire journey of the Jews through history till today, is we are going to survive. And that's going to be Nora. Awesome. And many people come to Judaism just on the because they're astonished about the miracle of Jewish survival. And that's going to be Nora. And when you look at it in retrospect, if you're a little objective, you'll see the Nora of it. And you know what? That survival of the Jews is going to bring us. It's going to be a Sefer Torah. It's going to be written into a whole Sefer Torah. And there'll be many individuals, many characters playing major roles in that Sefer Torah. And we'll talk about some of those characters later, the people that lived right at the time and right after the Chorban. Very important, the Tanaim and the Amoraim, critical. and the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh that they put in to ensure Torah would carry us through. And that's going to be Nora, the people that are going to ensure the survival of Klal Yisrael after our, even in our day, the people like the Klosenberger Rebbe and these people, astonishing. And I always, by the way, quote, tell you about the Klosenberger Rebbe. I was just very gratified because Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sachs in England, I just saw a comment by him that he's astonished about, you know, when he read the books of the Klosenberger Rebbe also. He was very moved. They are amazing. You really should get the books. Simple, simple books. An eighth grader could read them. But the depicting the person, astonishing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that story and that Sefer Torah that's being written has these people in it. And simple people who do great acts of Mesiras Nefesh that nobody knows about. And Yiras Shamayim. Simple, everyday people sitting right here. And people around us. So this is going to be Nora. And in the end, we've spoken about this many times, right? The Nora is going to be what brings us to the beginning, to Bereishis Bara, not the Aron, not Hashem breaking open the heavens and astonishing everyone with great miracles. That isn't in the end what's going to change the world. What's going to change the world is the fortitude of Klal Yisrael, the Emunah and Bitachon, that's going to bring us full circle to Bereishis Bara Elokim. The Nora is going to replace the Aron, and that's what these Pesukim are about, right? The Pesukim are Vehi Ben Soa HaAron. That Aron did travel, but in the form of Nora, in the form of Klal Yisrael. We are the Aron. We carried with us the message in the Aron. So that was those two psukim. But now we're getting to our real question for today, which is, how could it happen? Because the pasuk says, Vayisu mehar Hashem, derech shloshes yamim. You know the famous Rashi. They traveled away from the Har Hashem. So what does Rashi say? Now, why are these two psukim stuck in here? These two psukim are stuck right after to separate between two, like, bad, you know, two unfortunate events. What are the two unfortunate events? Right before these psukim, it says, and they traveled from Har Chorev for 3 days towards Eretz Yisrael. After, it says, they start complaining, and then about the month. So Rashi brings down Chazal, say, yeah, that traveling away from Har Sinai, ketinok Haboreach me beis hasefer, like a child running away from school. That was what that traveling was. It really wasn't. It was a form of a definite shortcoming. Chazal darshan it lignai for not praise, but for criticism to Klal Yisrael, that they ran away from Har Hashem. They wanted to leave it behind. Vayisu mehar Hashem. The Gemara in Shabbos says Amar of Chama bar Chanina shasuru meacharei Hashem. They started straying from Hashem. What happened? How could it be? So in order to try to understand how such a phenomenon could take place, we're going to look at the Gemara that, and based on, you know, working with a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that asks, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash? What is the reason? Okay. By the way, these ideas that I'm about to share with you are, thank God, what my husband spoke about on Shavuos, his chedushim, applying his ideas to a very cryptic piece in Rav Elul Soloveitchik's Sefer, which quotes his father, Rav Chaim Brisker. And my husband developed this and spoke about it on Shavuos, and I thought it was really sharp and, you know, strong and powerful. So here it is. I hand it over to you. So here's what happens. In Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, okay, starting, let's say, in the middle of the Perek, Pasuk Yud, Hashem is telling us the destruction that's going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, then Yirmiyahu says, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham, who is a chacham, v'yavin es zos, and could possibly understand this, v'asher diber pi Hashem elav ve'agida, that Hashem would talk to him and explain to him, al ma avda ha'aretz, because of what was the land ruined. What happened here? Nitzta kamidbar became withered up like the wilderness, like a midbar, mibli over, with nobody passing through anymore. What happened here? By Yomer Hashem, Hashem answered. So Yirmiyahu asks the question, who's a chacham? Who can tell us why this happened? Which means it wasn't obvious. Because if it was clear and obvious, then everyone would have known the answer. So, Vayomer Hashem. So Hashem answered, Al ozvam es torasi asher nasati lifneim. They left my Torah that I gave to them. It's exactly like Har Sinai. These are the words used. Hashem was no saying the Torah. This is the Torah that Hashem gave us, placed before us. We said nasa v'nishma, and then we abandoned it. So Hashem answers, that's what happened. V'lo shamu b'koli, they didn't listen to my voice. V'lo halchuba, and they didn't go in the drachim of the Torah. Now, the Gemara in the Darim, Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, goes through this. And you realize that if Hashem is answering that the reason that the land was, conquered and eventually the people exiled and the place was, eventually decimated and abandoned is because Hashem tells us they abandoned the Torah, Azvu es Torah. Well, isn't that obvious? So Chazal darshan it. It's obviously they abandoned the Torah in a way that was not obvious. So what was that way? So they say in the Gemara here, quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yaven es zos? Who can understand zos? Devar zeh nishal l'chachamim l'neviim v'lo pershuhu. They ask this to the chachamim and the neviim, and nobody can give an answer. Ad shepershu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo, until Hashem himself had to reveal the answer. And Hashem says, Dichtiv, as it says in Yirmiyahu, V'yomar Hashem, Hashem answered, Al azva mes torasi. You know what? They abandoned my Torah. Hainu, that's what it means. Lo shamu b'koli, they didn't listen to my voice. Lo halchuba, they didn't go in its ways. But that's confusing. So isn't that obvious that people were abandoning the Torah and everybody was assimilated, let's say, or irreligious? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. No, what that means is something was going on very beneath the surface that nobody understood. She'ein mevarchin b'Torah tchila. They didn't bless the Torah first. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah. Now, very important, in Yirmiyahu, Rashi explains that the words that Hashem said, HaTorah Asher Nasati Lifneihem, that I placed before them, right? Torasi Asher Nasati Lifneihem, that refers to one of the Birchas HaTorah that we say. We say two Birchas HaTorah every morning, right? First we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaMasher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav. You've given us a mitzvah. La'asok b'divrei Torah, to be busy with divrei Torah. But then we make another bracha. And that's more like we're using the word nosein, the Torah that I've given, and that is Baruch Ata Hashem, right? Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amin, you chose us from all the nations. V'nasan lanu es ha'Torah, you gave us the Torah. Baruch Ata Hashem, nosein, which is, by the way, very important. Hove, present tense. You are giving us the Torah. So when Hashem says in Yirmiyahu, Asher azvu, that they abandoned, azvam es torasi, they abandoned Torah, asher nasati, that I gave, Rashi says, they didn't make the bracha, no sein ha-Torah. Very important, because we're going to compare the two brachas. Okay? So, first of all, we're starting with a premise. They lost the Beis HaMikdash because they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. What did they have in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? They had Kohanim. And they had Leviim, and they had Nisim, and they had open miracles, and they had revelation. There was so much Torah being revealed, and yet their sin was they didn't make the Birchas HaTorah, specifically the bracha, Nosein HaTorah, which nobody knew, and it probably doesn't even mean they didn't make it. It probably means they didn't make it without the right Kavana, right? The Chazal somewhere else says something scary. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Not Sinas Chinam Lashon Hara, that was the second. The three cardinal sins, murder, adultery, and idol worship. Now these, though, not making Birchas Torah is very subtle. They didn't have kavanah in a bracha. That's like for people on a very high madriga, right? The three cardinal sins is for people on a very low madriga. Now, even if you want to say it's not possible, they didn't commit the three cardinal sins. I mean, not en masse, maybe some people, and maybe people were degrees of it, but not... So we're not murderers and idol worshippers. Yeah, there was Avodah Zarah, it's true. Was there widespread murder? Maybe when in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, the different tribes fought with each other, over the different kings, maybe that. But you're not describing a nation of derelicts and criminals and primitive, a situation of anarchy. So, but these are two very different descriptions of the Chorban. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah with Kavana, let's say. And they were killing, murdering, and committing adultery and serving Avodah Zarah. Like, how do you get from that Madrega to that Madrega? The same people that were doing those horrible things were on such a high level that they're punished for not having kavan in the Birchas HaTorah. Okay, it's weird, as you can see. All right, so what does it mean? What do we mean when we say that they didn't make Birchas HaTorah with, you know, and or they did, but not with kavan? I'll say, let's stick with the words of the Gemara. They didn't make the bracha. Okay? They didn't make the bracha, no say in HaTorah. What does it mean? So in order to begin to understand this, let's ask a couple questions about Birchas HaTorah. Technical questions about Birchas HaTorah. So here's where Rav Elva Brisker brings down his father. He asks a basic question. And he says the following. He says, we have a principle, okay, that there are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs ase doraisa, such as eating matzah on Pesach. That is a mitzvah ase that Hashem decreed in the Torah. It's doraisa that's in the Torah. Now, we make a bracha before we do that mitzvah. What's the origin of the bracha? So brachas are drabanan. Anshei Knesses HaGedolah made up all these brachas. They made up the concept of saying brachas before a mitzvah. That's a separate mitzvah. There's the mitzvah doraisa of making kiddush, right? Let's say that's a hard one. Let's keep with matzah on Pesach. A mitzvah doraisa of matzah on Pesach. If you eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan, have you fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of Pesach? Yes, for sure. In addition, there's a mitzvah drabanan to make a bracha on a mitzvah doraisa. Okay? Two different things. The Rabbanan instituted the whole thing of making brachas on mitzvahs. Okay. But that is not the only kind of bracha that the Chazal instituted. We have other kinds of brachas. We have what we call Birchas Nenin, Chazal instituted, that you make a bracha on food, on fragrances, on beautiful things. They're brachas of Hana, when you get pleasure. Okay? Based on a pasuk, Chazal understood that it's a mitzvah to make a bracha on things that you use, physical things that you benefit from. And we'll quote the pasuk that they based their decision on, that you have to make a bracha. So Chazal instituted that you got to make brachas on things you get pleasure from and that you actually appropriate. When you appropriate something, like you take Hashem's food and you eat it, you have to make a bracha. That's called Birchas Nenin. There's also things called Berchas Shevach. You bracha when you praise Hashem. There are different types of brachas. Like with Shemona Esrei, the first three are Shevach, are praising Hashem. Okay. What is Berchas HaTorah? What is the bracha of no saying HaTorah? That they didn't make that bracha, Rashi says, and that's why there was a Chorban. What is the bracha of no saying HaTorah? Now here's the question. You might say that clearly learning Torah, Talmud Torah, is a mitzvah ase doraisa, correct? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. V'shinantam levanecha v'higisa b'yomam v'layla. It's clearly, l'maditem osam es b'nechem. It's clearly a mitzvah ase, positive commandment, in the Torah itself, from Hashem, to learn Torah. Okay. So, therefore, it requires, according to Rabbanan, a mitzvah. I mean, a bracha on it, correct? Problem. Big problem is what he brings down. Everybody agrees that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not applying to women. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Let's just be clear on this. We definitely learn Torah. Okay? So let's break this down. We don't have a mitzvah to learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah. We have many mitzvahs. In order to do the mitzvah that we're commanded, you got to know how to do it. So you have to learn in any form you can, from a teacher, from a sefer, from the Torah itself, whatever it is, you got to learn how to do the mitzvah that you're commanded. So that learning is in order to do the mitzvah. So you're learning as a hechsher mitzvah, a preparation to do the mitzvah. You have to do that learning. That is not called learning for the sake of just learning. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, for sure not. It's the mitzvah of preparing and getting, being able to do a mitzvah correctly, knowing how to do a mitzvah. For example, Talmud Torah as a mitzvah in and of itself would be that you know exactly how to do a mitzvah perfectly. Okay? You know all the details of it. So now you don't need to learn anything more about that mitzvah. But, or let's say theoretically, you knew every detail of every mitzvah, ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveru, that you were chayiv in perfectly, and now you just want to sit down and learn Torah, just to learn Torah, not so that you should know how to do anything better. That mitzvah men are commanded in, women are not. That's the difference. Women are not commanded in learning Torah just for the sake of learning Torah. For example, you learn the Daf Gemara 100 times, you learn it 101 times, just to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Women don't have that. Okay. So here's a strange thing. Rambam, according to Rambam, the Sfaradim, hold that if a woman is not mitzuvah, not commanded in a particular mitzvah, like sitting in the sukkah, then they don't make the bracha on it because the mitzvah is not theirs. So Chazal never said you should make a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not commanded on. It's almost like a bracha levatala. So according to Rambam, the Sfaradim, they don't make a bracha on, let's say, when a woman sits in a sukkah, okay, that she's not mitzuvah in, okay? Now, eating because it's a time-bound mitzvah, right? However, according to the Rambam, who says a woman does not make a bracha on a mitzvah she's not commanded to do, Chazal didn't mean that when they instituted making brachas, that you should make a bracha on something you were never commanded to do, okay? Because you say in the bracha, Asher Kedishanu v'Tzivanu, you commanded us, right? Asher Kedishanu v'Mitzvosa v'Tzivanu, you can't say it if you're not mitzuvah. But according to Rambam, women do make a bracha on Birchas HaTorah. What is that? What's the Rambam's thinking? That's our question. Why do you make a bracha, women who are not mitzuvah in Talmud Torah, on learning Torah? So now what he divides up, he says, is because there's two aspects to learning Torah. There's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which, if you're a man and you're commanded, therefore Chazal require that it has a bracha before it. Okay? But there's something else. There is something that has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Any time a person learns Torah for any reason, that itself requires a bracha. Had there never been Chazal to tell you you need to make brachas on mitzvahs, even if Chazal would have never instituted brachas on mitzvahs, learning Torah itself requires a bracha for whatever reason you're learning it, even women, because they're learning to know whatever. Okay? Why does Torah itself require a bracha? What type of bracha does Torah itself require? So here my husband develops, because he's very cryptic, Rav Elva Brisker. He quotes his grandfather, his father of Chaim Brisker, I'm sorry, saying this. Here Rehesh explains the following, and then we're going to go into something my grandfather says, which develops it further. In other words, what he's saying is that Torah itself, for whatever reason you learn it, had Chazal never instituted brachas, requires a bracha. Why? Because we know that the source for making brachas, brachas nehenin, for example, like eating, is the fact that it says we are told that that the Gemara explains that we say Lahashem Haaretz Umaloa. Everything, the whole land and everything in it is Hashem's. And then we say Vaaretz Nasan Levnei Adam. You've given the land to people. So they explain. Before Kodem HaBracha, before you make a bracha, that food doesn't belong to you. It's LaHashem HaAretz. It belongs to Hashem. After you make a bracha, it's yours. VaAretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Hashem has given it to people to use. So they understand, they explain, that what a bracha does is it takes something that is not yours and it makes it yours. Okay? That is the thinking behind, let's say, a berchas nenin, eating something. What he's really saying here is, if you have to make a bracha on Torah, irregardless of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, okay? When you don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, just any time you learn Torah, this is the category it's falling into. Before you make that Torah and say, no sayin ha-Torah, before you make that bracha and say, no sayin ha-Torah, you are giving me the Torah, it is Hashem's. When you recognize that it is Hashem's, and really it is not shayach to people, afar min hadama, dust of the earth, limited with the Yetzirah, that it should be ours, and we should live by it and understand it, until we recognize that and say Hashem is no saying, Hashem is giving us the Torah as a gift, because it's not something that we really have a connection to, it's ruchnius, then you can't use it. It's a me'ila. Me'ila is the word that is used when you take something that's kadosh, dedicated for the Beis HaMikdash, something is designated like an animal for a carbon for the Beis HaMikdash, and you use it for your own sake, or you take one of the kalim, the vessels or the shovels or whatever of the Beis HaMikdash, and you use it for your own sake. That's a special form of geneva called mi'ila. okay, where you take something kadosh and you appropriate it. If a person learns Torah without saying, no saying HaTorah, that you've given me the Torah now, you're handing it to me as a gift because I am so far away, I'm a flesh and blood with all my shortcomings, then that Torah is not ours, is not, we don't, we have no right, in a sense, to access it, and we don't access it. That's the secret. Without this Birchas HaTorah, you don't really get the Torah. If you don't say no saying HaTorah, you never really get the Torah, though it might look like you have. We'll speak about this in a minute. And but if you say no Seina Torah, then it becomes yours, and you're allowed to learn it, and it will transform you, and it will change you. So the fact that women make Birchas HaTorah has nothing to do with the fact that Talmud Torah is a mitzvah oraisa that we're pater from. Anytime you learn Torah, you have to unlock it and bring it into your domain from Hashem's domain through the bracha no Seina HaTorah. Okay? That's what the Gemara says, that they didn't, were not mevarach on the Torah tzchila, they didn't say no sein haTorah, and they didn't understand that they had to receive the Torah from Hashem in order for it to become theirs. So what happens if you learn Torah, but you don't say no sein haTorah? What does that look like? That you're not, you don't understand you're receiving it every second, kol rega verega, from Hashem, otherwise it's not yours. You know what that looks like? It looks like a person who can say beautiful pirushim, beautiful drashas, tell you about gorgeous secrets in the Torah, explain psukim, okay? But that Torah is, they don't perceive that Torah as being given to them, and therefore it stays in the realm of mipeh v'chutz, from their mouth and outwards. Can that Torah transform them? Can that Torah change who they are? No. If you learn Torah like that, you could do Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, murder, adultery, and idol worship, even while you're learning Torah all day. And unfortunately, we've even seen it, right? We've seen it. How does that happen, that you learn Torah, but you don't take it in? So now, in order to understand this, that my grandfather, in explaining in the Tefillah Sefer, what we say in Ava Rabba, in Ava Rabba we say, Hashem, you have such love for us, this tremendous, overwhelming compassion. And then we say like this. Before, by the way, the bulk of Ava Rabba is asking Hashem for hatzlacha in learning, integrating, and teaching Torah. Look at Ava Rabba. It's a bracha on Torah, on the ability to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to learn, to understand, to teach, to be mekayim Torah. It's all about that. So in the intro to this request, we say, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Ba'avur Avoseinu Shebatchu Bacha. And on account, in the sake of our ancestors, who trusted in you. V'salamdeim Chukei Chaim, and you taught them the rules of life. Kein Techaneinu V'salamdeinu, please grant us that gift and teach us also. Who are the Avos who trusted in Hashem, that Hashem taught them? Who are we talking about? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that trusted in Hashem and Hashem taught them the Torah? No. No. My grandfather explains that we are not talking about the Avos. We're talking about our ancestors, who? The Tanoim and the Amoraim. Now, very important people. They span 500 years, from the Chorban to the close of the Gemara. The Tanoim are the 200 years of the Mishnah. The Amoraim are the Gemara. Okay. After the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash, they understood this was going to be a very long journey. Nora, the Nora we talked about. And they understood that they did not have anything but 24, actually it was 22 Sfarim at the time, because Eicha was part of Yirmiyahu, and Rus was part of Shoftim. That's all they had. That's not, you can't know how to be a Jew by learning Chumash. It just is not going to work. The worst thing you could do is tell someone who doesn't know anything about Judaism, okay, go learn Chumash. All right. They understood that they had to bring it down. Now, the Jews were living a full Torah life with all kinds of halachas. Those halachas, most of them were not specified in the Chumash. They were oral. Chazal had to go, and what they set out to do, these Tanaim and the Amoraim, is take the whole body of law that was already in existence, that was passed down from generation to generation orally, and prove, through very hard work, how every single detail of Jewish life and halacha was sourced and hinted to in Torah Shebichtav, in the Torah that we had. They had to go back and show all the the links. They had to recreate, really rather, they had to use Torah Shebichtav to become as proofs for the entire body of Jewish law that was already in existence. They had to ground it. Everyone knew how to live as Jews, but now we were being scattered, and there was a zillion halachas. They had to ground all those halachas in the Chumash, show the connections, where the Chumash hinted to those halachas. That was their work. That's the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay? Aside from the seven mitzvahs they themselves instituted, what they did is they worked with Doraisas and showed you where they came from so that the whole body of law would be grounded and would stand for us for thousands of years. What did they sacrifice to do this? You know the stories. They sacrificed their lives in the worst ways. They were tortured and murdered, and they kept doing it. The Sanhedrin, they ran. They ran from Yavne to the north, back and forth. They were constantly under threat of the Romans. They were constantly found and captured and killed. Rav Shimon bar Yochai in the cave, all this Asara Haruge Malchus. Well, you know all these stories, and not even the ones that Malchus didn't kill, but the one, all the along the way, the ones the Romans found. They put their lives completely on the line to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. That is the Avoseinu we're talking about. Now it says they trusted in you. What's the bitachon we're talking about here? My grandfather explains. The same idea we just talked about. They knew that they had to put in a tremendous amount of yegia, hard work, to do what they were trying to do. And they had trust in Hashem that if they put in the effort, Hashem will grant them the gift of being able to find a source in Torah Shebichtav for every single little thing that they need to bring down in Torah Shebaal Peh, which they were able to do. Right? Some job is right. And that's the bitachon. So from here, my grandfather goes on to say, we have a principle in Pirkei Avos, that Torah is, in a strange way, called a metzia, something you find. And in order to find this thing, which, you know, when you find something, it just happens, you have to put in a tremendous amount of effort. But then you find it. These are oxymorons. When you're looking for something and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and all of a sudden you find it. Right? Sometimes you find something without looking for it at all. So the Pirkei Avos says, there are three rules. If somebody says, Yagati, I worked hard, Velo Matzasi, but I didn't find, don't believe them. If somebody says to you, Lo Yagati, I didn't work on it, and Matzasi, I found it, don't believe them. If it's talking about Torah. If somebody says, Yagati, Umatzasi, you could believe him. What does this mean? What this means is, in order to acquire Torah, so that Torah should enter into a person's mind and heart and soul and transform them, and therefore the Torah that emanates from them is an expression of a reality, they have to put in a yegia, a tremendous amount of effort in action, learning Torah, care. They have to put in time, and they have to work on it, and they have to think about it, and they have to apply it. And it's hard, very, very hard. And if they do that, then they will have Torah. But if somebody says, I didn't even try, it just came so easy to me, look at all this beautiful Torah I have, that's the same thing as saying they didn't make Berachas HaTorah. They didn't say no Sein HaTorah, which means to say, they didn't understand when Hashem gives us something, that's like finding something. A gift means it didn't come from you, it came from Hashem, but it's a strange arrangement. You have to work and work and work and work, and then Hashem graces you with a gift of understanding that really is beyond, you know, understanding of Chachma that comes from a different sphere. It's not something we humans can really imagine that we can acquire on our own, no matter how hard we try. We work, and then Hashem graces us with it. That's how Torah really works. It's a metzia. We find it, but we work for it. What if you don't work for it? You don't say, no, say na Torah, Hashem, you're giving me the Torah, and that demands my effort first. You just learn Torah and say beautiful Perushim. No, yeah, I didn't work. And look, I have it. So here's what my grandfather brings down. He says, so here, Chazal say this. And he brings down Pirkei Avos also. Pirkei Avos says, Kol shechachmaso, whoever has wisdom, meruba mimasov, more than deeds, lamahu doma. What is this compared to? Now, he points out very carefully here. The masim, the deeds that Pirkei Avos is referring to, is not mitzvahs. The deeds is effort. saying no Sein HaTorah, meaning you, Hashem, give it to me. If I make myself available to it by working, by being objective, not subjective, by putting aside my own agenda, by stopping to think about what I really want and how I would do things, what your Torah is, what your mitzvahs are, how to do them correctly, that's what I spend my time on. That's called actions. Who's ever chokhmah knows a lot of beautiful things to say, but it's more than their deeds of working to acquire Torah. L'mahu doma, you know the rest of this. Le'ilan, to a tree. Sha'anof of merubin has a lot of leaves. V'shorash of me'utim, but has very few roots. What happens? Look what Rashi says. Look what the Pirkei Avos says. Haruach ba, a wind is going to come. What kind of wind? Heresy. A couple of questions about the truth of Torah. Temptation. You know, what kind of temptation? Geneva, Arias, whatever. Temptation, what's going to happen? Ruach ba, wind's going to come. But Okras is just going to uproot the whole thing. Vahofachto al panav, and turn it on its face. In other words, if Torah comes to a person just like that, they appreciate the beauty, but they don't say the bracha of no Sein HaTorah, or another way of saying it, work to acquire it, which is to open oneself up. Why was the Torah given in a midbar, Chazal tell us? You know the answer. If a person doesn't make themselves barren like a midbar of their own agenda, their own desires, the Torah won't be able to grow from within them. It's clearing out everything. So then if a person doesn't do that work and really try to understand the Torah, and the Torah for women that works, the Torah Shebichsa for men, and for sure, and Torah Shebaal Peh, you work on it. Then what happens is it's a deck of cards. And there is no guarantee that it just won't just up and fly away at the slightest, you know, pressure against it. So when we ask ourselves, how is it that they lost the Beis HaMikdash? They started straying from Hashem after Har Sinai. You know the answer. Look what went on in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. They were surrounded by Torah. They had malachim, kings, and kohanim, and priests, and the whole Shevet Levi walking around the whole country teaching everybody all day long. And they had prophecy. They had open revelation. So much of it. So what do you do when you're in that situation? You think, I don't have to work hard to make Torah mine. I'm swimming in the ocean of it all day. A certain insensitivity, a certain, Rav Mashpir says, gaiva, arrogance. I don't need to work hard to integrate the Torah. It's all around me. I don't need to sacrifice anything for it. So what happens? They don't say, no Sein HaTorah, you're giving us the Torah. And the only way we get it, as like, you know, it comes to us, is if we work for it. We open ourselves up to it. We recognize that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it has to be given every moment to us. Then, chas v'shalom, what could happen? The worst of errors can happen to the same people that have Torah all around. Now, by the way, this is the Yetzahara of great people. We know. Kol ha-gadol mechavero. My husband, you see all his notes here in the margin. He says this. He says, we know, kol ha-gadol mechavero. Whoever is greater has more Torah. Yitzro gadol mimeno. His Yetzahara is greater. So how in the world are you going to combat your Yetzirah? You have more ability, you have more talent, you have more drive, and your Yetzirah is going to be so much more enormous. How are you going to save yourself? So we're told, Barasa Yetzirah, I created Yetzirah, which grows in you based on your own growth, and Barasi Torah Tavlam, but I made Torah as its antidote. But the only way Torah is going to be an antidote for the Yetzirah within a person, in this case, in the time of the Korban, a certain gaiva, arrogance, or the pervasiveness of Torah, the commonness of Torah all around them, right? And the other end, agili arayah shvichas damim and avodah zarah, the three worst sins. The only way Torah is going to be an antidote if that Torah is inside, like the HR is inside, right? That's then it fights each other. But if you don't say no Sein HaTorah and realize Hashem is giving it to us as a result of our effort, it won't be inside, it'll be outside, and then, like Pirkei Avos says, there's a tree that uproots itself and turns over and is lost. So, the fact is that it's very similar today. I have met Israelis, as you probably have said, in Israel, they don't need to keep Shabbos, they don't need to keep Kashrus, they're living in Eretz Yisrael, it's Judaism all around. They come to America, they feel if they don't hold on to Shabbos or Kashrus, they're going to be lost. So, right? It's the same type of concept. What this means for us is, how did they run away from Har Sinai like that? Because you know, and we've talked about this, it was, the revelation was way beyond their preparation, right? They glimpsed a world that they would eventually try to get to or be expected to get to. They were shown something way beyond them, but it wasn't theirs. They hadn't acquired it. They hadn't been kone. They hadn't owned, you know, come to own it. And therefore, it could be lost. Our whole journey through history is to take the Torah that Hashem gave on Har Sinai to us, no Sein HaTorah, and be kone it, acquire it, make it ours. Same thing with food. Before you make the bracha, it's Hashem's. Once you make the bracha and you connect it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you understand its purpose, this food is to strengthen me to do mitzvahs, this Torah is to transform me, it's coming from Hashem, it's a gift, and I acknowledge that gift, and I know what I have to do in order to receive that, that's called Berachas HaTorah, then that Torah is your kone, you acquire that Torah, it becomes your Torah, and it gives you the fortitude and gives Klal Yisrael the fortitude to survive and will bring us back. They just want to end with this. The first Perek in Tehillim says everything we just said. David HaMelech says, Ki betoras Hashem cheftso. First it calls it Hashem's Torah. We see Hashem's Torah, the beauty, the wisdom, the genius, the secrets, the mirak, the whole thing. We have a chefetz, we desire it. How do you get it? It's ruchnius. How do you get it? We're flesh and blood. How do you get it? So then David HaMelech says, Ubetoraso, and in his own Torah, Yege, he puts in effort, Yomam v'layla. So Chazal explained, before you put in the Yigia, right, it's Hashem's. When you work for it and you love it, it becomes yours. That's the Nakuda. That's the aspect of it. And that's what we always have to watch out for. What we're watching out for is that Torah isn't, the beauty of Torah is not sufficient. It's the integration. Being able to say no, say na Torah, and creating that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no sin, you know, again is in the hove, it's in the present tense. Every minute, Hashem is giving us a Torah if we open ourselves up to it and struggle to be able to be a receptacle that could receive it. Okay. Announcement. Yes. Announcement. Thank you. First of all, announcement. I am believing.